She's basically single white female.
Can you imagine if in that collage of pictures, there was just one small picture of Joey? Joey's like, wait, where did you get this?
Morgan's like, can I have a strand of your hair for my hair doll?
Back to you, Bob.
Welcome to Back to You, Bob, a Dawson's Creek podcast. We are your hosts, Christina and Micah, and this is episode 317, A Cinderella Story, which originally aired on March 1st, 2000.
Oh boy, it's a big one.
Oh my gosh, I love this episode.
The episode we've been waiting for.
Yes, we have. I cannot wait to dive in.
What are we drinking today?
We are drinking The Buzz. It is 1 1/4 ounces of tequila, 1 1/4 ounces of coffee liqueur, 1/2 ounce of creme de cacao, 3/4 of an ounce of heavy cream. It's basically like an espresso martini, but with tequila. Creamy, delicious coffee drink. It makes me think of Patron, what was that called? X?
No. Something? Was it like a coffee flavored?
Yeah, Patron XO, I think it's called. It was so good. If you ever see it out in the wild, have yourself a sip. It's delicious.
Have you seen those TikToks of the people who were like, take a sip of espresso martini and then they like drop dead?
No.
It's like, I mean, it's a joke. It's like people, they put in like a sound effect.
Because it's so good or because it's
so caffeinated?
Okay.
Those have totally gotten into my head and I'm like afraid to have them now.
Oh my God.
The power of TikTok, I tell you.
This is a big life change for you.
You know, I'll have one on occasion. So should we dive in to this iconic game changer of an episode?
Let's do it, baby.
So this is episode 317, A Cinderella Story, and it opens with Pacey and Joey. He's driving her to the train station because she's going to Boston. The guy she's been seeing, AJ, is receiving an award for creative writing. And she's really excited because he's the youngest person to ever win it. And it's a huge deal. They get to talking about long distance relationships. And Pacey tells her they're not real. They're a fantasy. Like this weekend, Joey gets to show up, put on a dress, pretend to be Cinderella for a weekend. But it's all a fairy tale. It's not reality. And he says that reality always finds a way to creep back in. The clock always strikes midnight. And this really upsets her. And she takes off for Boston. And when she arrives, she's surprised to find that AJ is not there to pick her up at the train station. His oldest and best friend, a girl named Morgan, is. Morgan and AJ have a long history, and they have witty banter that makes Joey feel like a third wheel. And she thinks it's super weird that AJ has never mentioned his best friend before. At every turn, Morgan just knows way more about AJ than Joey, and Joey starts to realize that she doesn't know AJ at all. At the award ceremony, AJ reads one of his older creative writing pieces, one that Morgan recommended he read there. And when Joey hears it, she realizes that it's about Morgan and that she's his muse. So elsewhere, due to his fight with Matt Caulfield 2 episodes ago, Pacey was assigned to do mandatory service work as a big brother. And in this episode, he meets his little brother, someone that the school and the agency thought would be a perfect fit for him. His name is Buzz. And we find out that Buzz is a smartass, which is why they thought they would be a fitting pair. Buzz is a handful and says that he gives Pacey 2 days until he requests a new little brother. Buzz ends up getting into a fight at the arcade, and it's clear that Pacey is in way over his head. He eventually takes Buzz to his boat, True Love, and puts him to work. They get to know each other a little bit, and Buzz tells him that his dad died and they ended up scattering his ashes in Nantucket. Pacey talks about his dad a little bit as well, before telling Buzz that he's in the program because of fighting, which invalidates everything Pacey just said about no fighting at the arcade. Buzz continues to give Pacey a hard time about this and other things and tells him that he's a loser for naming his boat True Love, but he doesn't even have the guts to be honest with the girl that he named it after. Pacey ends up telling the program that he thinks it's a good idea if he got a new little brother. The program director understands. Most mentors request to be transferred from Buzz. She tells Pacey that Buzz acts out because he has a tough home life. His mom is never there. She works all hours. And Pacey chimes in, you know, plus his dad. And she reveals that Buzz's dad left him and his mom and started a new family. And Pacey guesses in Nantucket. So Pacey changes his mind and decides to stick by Buzz. He meets up with him later, and the fact that he's sticking it out with him is enough for Buzz to tell Pacey the truth about his dad. And in turn, Pacey tells him about the girl whom the boat is named after, Joey. Meanwhile, Gail is spiraling because her restaurant is opening soon and nothing seems to be done. There's no menu, there's no chef, there's no staff. Dawson's helping her get all of this done, when Jack and Andy show up with the restaurant sign, which ends up having no name on it because Gil didn't make a decision about one in time. Jack and Andy become the taste testers for all the people wanting to be chef, and each one is worse than the last. Jen throws her hat into the ring to be a server at the restaurant when it opens, and she's dropping trays left and right during training. Everything is officially a disaster. So in over his head, Dawson ends up reaching out to Mitch for help, which infuriates Gil. She feels undermined. Dawson is thrown because all Mitch and Gil do is say how they're friends and they want to move on as friends. So why wouldn't she want help from a friend? Jen tells Dawson that it's clear what he's doing. He just wants to see his parents back together, and he puts them together at every turn. He denies this at first, but then he realizes maybe she's right. When Dawson arrives the next day, Gail confesses that she was too proud to admit that she did need a partner. She does. Dawson assumes that she's talking about Mitch, but it turns out she's talking about Bodhi. He's going to come on board and whip the kitchen staff into shape. Mitch will be general manager, and Jen is fired as a waitress. She'll be a great hostess, though. And to top it all off, Gail has a name, Leary's Fresh Fish. So after the awards ceremony, Joey tells AJ that she can see that Morgan is his muse, that he has feelings for her, and how he should be with her. AJ swears it isn't true, but Joey can see it, even if AJ can't. She refers to what Pacey said in the opening scene and tells AJ that reality always eventually sets in. The two part ways, and she heads to the train station. When she arrives in Capeside, she calls Pacey to pick her up. On the ride home, she's a little resentful toward him because what he predicted came to fruition. She doesn't think she'll ever find love because there's only two people in her life that have known her, Dawson, and before she can get the name out, Pacey says AJ didn't really know her. If he did, he wouldn't have let her go. She says that she wasn't going to say AJ. She was going to say him. That's when Pacey pulls the car over and asks what Joey meant by that. She says exactly what she meant. No one knows her like him and Dawson. Pacey says this isn't about Dawson. He's tired of hearing about Dawson. It's about her and him. And he kisses Joey. And that's episode 317, Cinderella Story. A cliffhanger.
The biggest cliffhanger. Oh my gosh.
This is like our JFK assassination. Like, we all remember where we were.
So iconic.
And who wrote this iconic episode?
This episode was written by Jeffrey Stepakov. He was first with us in 304 Home Movies. So if you want to hear more about him, you can go back to that episode and listen. And he was most recently with us for 312 Weekend in the Country. Two phenomenal episodes.
So he's like a little Joey Pacey writer.
Mm-hmm. When we found out Pacey was in love with Joey and when he finally took action.
Wow. And who directed it?
This episode was directed by Janice Cook. This is the only episode of Dawson's Creek that she directed, but she was a producer on seasons 2 through 4. So her career is kind of interesting. She started as a producer. This was her first directing credit ever. This episode of Dawson's was the first time she ever directed anything. Then she ended up going on to direct a ton of stuff, Charmed, 6 episodes of One Tree Hill, A Ringer, Carrie Diaries, Heart of Dixie, Pretty Little Liars, How to Get Away with Murder, Fear of the Walking Dead. She did an episode of that Wu-Tang Hulu show.
Right.
Wu-Tang and American Saga. Last year, she directed episodes of shows called The Irrational and Joe Pickett. So she went on to direct a ton of stuff and actually has more directing credits than she does producing credits in the end. So it's cool that this was her start.
You said she was a producer on Dawson seasons 2 through 6?
2 through 4.
2 through 4. But she didn't write any.
Yeah, I'm...
So she was a non-creative producer. So she helped...
Logistics, yeah.
With like budget, location... The actual execution of the scripts, the production.
I would think so.
I see. Yeah. So sometimes they give the staff episodes to direct, as we've talked about.
Yeah, absolutely. I've worked on shows where editors have directed episodes. I've worked on shows where post-producers have directed episodes.
The show I'm on now, the executive producer directs an episode every few weeks or every week or something. They're just familiar with the show, the style of the show, the tone of the show.
Totally.
And I think we all know, but who is our guest cast shout out?
Our guest cast shout out this week is going to Jonathan Lipnicki. Jonathan Lipnicki had a hold over the nation. Wouldn't you say when Jerry Maguire came out?
Oh, for sure.
The human head weighs 8 pounds.
He was like a pop culture little phenomenon. Yeah.
He truly was. Jerry Maguire was his very first credit. It was his introduction to everything, which, I mean, he was 6 when that movie came out. So he was probably 5 when they shot it. He's the perfect combination of mature and a child. Like, he has the look, the glasses, everything. He's so cute, but he can wrap his brain and his mouth around words and action. And like, he's just, he must have been like a dream for all of these directors.
He pulls off that precocious kid without being annoying. And it's so natural and it doesn't feel like he's acting.
Which is not easy for a child to do, I feel like.
And I'm thinking of Jerry Maguire specifically, where he keeps asking question after question after question. And in this a little bit, he just has that like natural curiosity and it comes across very genuine on camera. It doesn't feel like he's acting. He was so funny in this episode. I remember him being annoying, which he is, but I was laughing out loud at this episode. This might be the funniest Dawson's episode of all time.
It's really funny. I watched this one with my partner and he was laughing out loud. And usually when he laughs, it's like, like whatever, a small giggle. But this one, he was genuinely laughing. And a big part of it was their dynamic, Pacey and Buzz. It's like the perfect little combo.
He's so funny. What has he done since this?
He started with Jerry Maguire. He went on, he had like a handful of TV roles. There was a show called Mego with Bronson Pinchot.
Mm-hmm.
He played like the kid and it was about an alien who was like playing a human. Anyway, I kind of remember that. He was in Dr. Doolittle, Stuart Little. Stuart Little was big for him. There were a few of those movies. But since then, it's been kind of mellow. Like, I think he is in a ton of stuff, but none of it is huge. He was in a show called Youthful Days. Do you know anything about it?
Never heard of it.
So I can't really figure out exactly how it came to be, but it's a Vimeo show starring a few people, but one of them being Chrishell Stouse.
Mm-hmm. She was an actress before Selling Sunset. She was on Days of Our Lives.
Yeah. So it's this show. It has like 170 episodes or something like that. And he was in a handful of them, like 50 episodes. And it was one of the guys was nominated for a daytime Emmy for it. So I'm like, is it a soap?
What is it called?
Youthful Days, but D-A-Z-E.
Oh, Lord. I'll look into it, but good Lord.
Yeah, so he was in that. He most recently last year was in a film called Man Goes on a Rant and in a film called Camp Pleasant Lake. So he's around. I also was Googling him and he was recently on the Matthews Brothers Have a Podcast and he was on it.
I think you're going to say Masked Singer because that would track.
Oh my God, that would. No.
But you know who was on Masked Singer this season? Paula Cole.
Oh man. Do you watch that show?
No, someone sent me the clip. A few people sent us the clip. I used to watch it. The one season I really did watch in the beginning, the actress from the show that I was on it. And I solved it based on the opening packet, like the clip package.
Really?
The clue package. And I was very impressed with myself.
And did anyone know? Or was there any like whispers about it?
No. Production kept it like no one knew, but I sent it to all like the writers when I figured it out.
Sure.
I sent them the video of the clue package.
Look at you, little sleuth.
Yeah. She did tell me though later, they do take lengths to make sure that like none of the cast members run into each other behind stage when they're not in uniform and stuff like that. So they do take precautions backstage to make sure not even the cast knows who's on their season.
That's really interesting because I feel like those things are never, ever leaked. I've never heard about that being an issue.
No.
Oh, very cool.
Okay, so he's still in stuff. And I do feel like I watched something though when he was like 13, 14, like the awkward teen years. But I can't remember what that was.
He was in a lot of voice stuff for a while. He was in an episode of Touched by an Angel when he was 13.
How old was he in this? Like 8 or 9?
Mm-hmm. He was born in 1990.
Well, we just love him.
He's so cute. He's in 3 episodes. So this is 1 of 3. So we get to enjoy him a little bit longer.
Yes, we do. I actually wish he came back for season 4 because he's a good little like talk to for Pacey and like a good little foil.
Perfect. No, their dynamic is perfect. I love it.
Do you have a music moment? I don't have any for this episode, which is weird that the kiss moment at the end doesn't have a song that we...
Like a grippy...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a lot of Tara McLean songs.
Yeah, no. I got nothing.
What about your past versus present?
I think in my original viewing, I didn't think that Morgan was a bitch, but I definitely had like a dislike for her. But she's really likable, I think, Morgan. Like, she's just a nice girl living her nice little life with her nice little best friend that she has a crush on, obviously. And she's not anything negative towards Joey. And I was like, huh, that's not how I remember this going down.
Yeah, in our little teen in our teen minds, everything is like black and white. And now it's like, oh, she wasn't bad. Can I be honest? I have no memory of her. No memory of her. I obviously remember the car ride and I remember her and AJ breaking up, but I have no idea. I had no memory of why or what had transpired. She's fine.
Yeah, I'm glad it's over. I'm glad it's out of the way, to be honest.
The AJ arc? Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
My past and present, I think, as I touched on, I remember Buzz being annoying, but now I just think he's funny. And this isn't so much of a past versus present. The kiss moment in my mind was bigger, like longer. It's such a quick moment, and then it goes straight to black. And when it cuts to the black, I thought it was going to cut to like a wide zoom out shot and like show them like kissing by the car. It's just like a blink and you miss it.
It's very quick. And I think it's that speaks to how impactful it was at the time, because it was like, oh my God. Mm-hmm. Like it probably lingered in our minds like well into the credits, you know? I remember being like, ugh.
Oh yeah, we lived with that for a week. So that probably my past versus present.
It's a good one. Let's open it up. Let's talk about it.
Let's dive in. Cold open, car, Pacey Joey, long distance relationships. You were in a long distance relationship.
I was.
And it's still the relationship you're in.
For one whole year of long distance.
Wow. Like long distance, like 3,000 miles.
Across the country. Yeah. It's not easy, but there's something about a teenage relationship where like I was in a quote unquote long distance relationship my first year of college because we were a car ride away. And that relationship never would have survived, like, unless we were within 5 minutes of each other, you know? There's just, when you're young, it's different.
It's true. When you're adult, you have, like, your job. You have so many other distractions to fill your days and weeks.
And I was in a long-distance relationship in 2017. So FaceTime existed, texting existed, like, in 1999 or 2000. It was different staying in touch, I guess.
I bet AJ sent her, like, poems via email or something.
So many emails. He probably mailed her books.
Ugh. Not Little Women.
No.
Because he thinks that book is for trash people.
I love Pacey's car. What is that? A Grand Wagoneer? Whatever it is with the wood paneling on the side.
Love a wood panel car.
Oh, I know.
It's like a Jeep, isn't it?
Yeah.
I love it.
It's so good. And it also, looking back to my Whatchawatchin' a couple weeks ago, is the car that Will Ferrell and Harper Steele used to drive across the country. Like that exact car.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's one of those iconic things from like Joey's Red Book bag. Pacey's wood panel car.
That's it.
I was going to say, like, Jack's, like, striped Old Navy sweaters. There's just, like, iconic little...
Pacey's corduroy jacket.
Jen's butterfly clips.
Dawson's black pearl necklace.
Dawson's vest.
Oh, God. Not the vest.
We can't make fun of the black pearl necklace because his mom gave him that in real life and she's dead.
I know. It's very beautiful. Did you notice when we go to the fish restaurant, which in the beginning of the episode does not yet have a name, there's a guy in the establishing shot that trips and falls and like drops flowers.
Yeah.
I know that that's on purpose, but it really was so funny to me.
I know. Lear's fresh fish is a disaster.
Disaster.
Wait, we have to talk about in the cold open, you know, oh, yeah. Pacey Joey fighting. Drop. Joey, what a light packer.
I didn't even think about that.
She just has her red book bag.
It's all she ever needs. It's like Mary Poppins' bag. You can get anything in that bag.
She packed it all in there. Leary's fresh fish is a disaster. Gail can't make a decision to save her life.
Things aren't going well. They can't find anyone who knows how to cook, which really feels like a problem. A real problem.
Every time they mentioned like eating bad chowder, my stomach like
I know.
Ugh.
I'm just picturing like chewy clams. Ugh. No, thank you.
Do you like white chowder better or red chowder?
I like white better.
Yeah.
Phew. That was a bullet dodged. I was worried you were going to say red.
Doesn't the red chowder have a name like New York chowder or something?
Manhattan.
Manhattan yeah. chowder. No, thanks.
No, thank you. Give me New England any day.
And then Gail's like, we need Bodhi. And then Dawson says like, well, not unless we want to put the Potter B&B out of business. And
for Joey to never be friends with me again.
But then it comes back around because Gail at the end realizes she does need a partner and she cuts Bodhi in 20%.
She does. But also like, well, yes, that was a creative solution. They're like, he's only going to work nights so that it doesn't interfere with the B&B. I'm like, yeah, but he's never going to see his family and he has no work-life balance. Great. Perfect.
The cycle of dysfunction will continue for the Potters.
Oh my God.
It's systemic. Bodhi's going to whip the kitchen staff into shape. I just summed up that C story. We just covered the whole C story.
Perfect. Jack and Andy. I like that rather than not having Jack and Andy in the episode, they just had them play that small role of like, they come in, they bring a sign in, and then he's like, are you hungry? Do you want to try some food? And they're just like taste testing for these chefs.
Yes. More Jack and Andy scenes, please.
Yeah. I love that.
McPhee stands. McPhee hive, rise up. And Jack looks so good.
He does.
He has a haircut. He's gelling his hair. He's moisturizing. He's lifting.
He's doing all the things. And it's working. It is working.
I was reading that Freaks, Geeks, and Cliques, and I don't know the title of it. You always correct me.
Freaks, Gleeks, and Dawson's Creek.
And did I say this last time that Kerr was very adamant about like the styling and the hair and makeup choices and the wardrobe choices for Jack?
No.
Because Kevin's initial vision for Jack was like, Jack is just a guy who happens to be gay, not like stereotypically gay for the 90s, which was very, you know, flamboyant and this and that and all the stereotypes. So whenever they tried to put Jack in something flamboyant or make him more of a stereotype, Kerr was very outspoken that like, we're not going to change the character that was established in season two. Being gay is not going to be his entire personality. And that was an interesting takeaway.
That's great. He does feel like he has a stronghold over the character. I mean, they all do. They all do. But I feel like Jack is one of the characters that it feels like the writers have a vision for him. He has a vision for himself. Like, he just feels very like steady.
Yes. And Kerr feels like he takes his craft very seriously. Like, I could see him being very method. Like,
yeah. And it plays very natural.
Jen comes in and they're like, stranger, who are you? Like, shouldn't you be at like Cape Fest?
Shouldn't you be playing Hacky Sack?
I like it because they kind of acknowledge that Michelle Williams, she's been out of a few episodes, and then Jen hasn't had a lot of storylines with the main characters aside from Weekend in the Country, I don't think. So I just like that they acknowledge that. And she talks about it's the honeymoon period, but she wants to get a job at Leary's Fresh Fish to take Henry out or something.
Look, I don't know.
Not everything has to be for your man.
Jen is so Henry. Her whole thing this season is Henry, and I'm so over it.
We got hate mail because we like Henry.
I mean, Henry's cute. He is.
Don't let them hear you say it.
He's so annoying. We've talked about how if any man ever did the stuff that he does for Jen, I would probably vomit and run in the opposite direction.
If they did it for you?
Yeah. It makes me cringe to think about. The other day, we were talking about something romantic on TV, and I said, that's romantic. And my partner said, you hate romance. You would hate if someone did that for you. And I was like, you know what? You're right. And that's why I love you. Thank you for recognizing that.
I know. It's such a weird dichotomy. Dichotomy? Oxymoron? Yeah, it's like you want someone to do it, but then if they did it, you'd be like, that's crazy. I wonder when that got beaten out of us. Because at one point, we liked romance.
Then
now it's just like cheesy, right?
And like too much. Like my thing is, especially when it comes to Henry, like it's different if we're talking about this long-term relationship where someone's being romantic. It's like, okay, yeah, maybe like that comes across as cheesy. But if it's someone courting me, I would be like, ew, you got to pump
right. The
brakes. Like this is too much. You don't know me. You are like placing all of this stuff on me. Can't deal.
I used to make a killer mix CD.
Me too.
And just thinking about being that vulnerable now, it's like so foreign.
Here's my heart. Hope you love it.
Dashboard Confessional.
Oh, God.
What was his name? Oh, my God. What was his name? That guy. He was Australian. He's a singer-songwriter. What is his name?
Howie Day?
Yes. He's Australian, right?
It does say American.
So not Australian.
Wait, what is the Howie Day song that I loved? Collide. Oh my God.
Yeah. Well, anyway,
sorry.
Could never be real with our feelings now.
No. Oh God. It's almost too vulnerable to send you my top five Spotify songs and artists.
I know, because it's like such a look into your psyche. Oh, it was super cute when Dawson and Jen were talking about like their relationship. And
yeah.
When Jen is telling him like the reason that you called Mitch in is because you want your parents back together. And he's like, no, that's not true. And she's like, it is. And over there is where you asked me to be. You said you wanted to be my boy wonder. And he says, did I say that? I think that's funny because it feels like it's the season three writers poking fun at the season one writers.
Yeah, but it's also super cute of them to acknowledge it and talk about it. I liked it.
I like their friendship and I like their relationship. And I think that's why I like season five so much. Wink.
Call ahead. But wait, the one thing I didn't get about the Gale storyline is, and I probably just missed it between these last couple of episodes, I feel like the restaurant's been moving very quickly. So she didn't know what she wanted to call the restaurant. And so the sign came back with nothing on it because she didn't give it to the sign maker in time. And then at the end, Mitch paints Leary's Fresh Fish on the sign. And Dawson is like, wait, I thought Mitch is like, it's her name too, Dawson. Was there a conversation about that that I missed?
Okay, so what I gleaned from that was they did have a dream at one point to have a restaurant. And together. It was going to be called Leary's Fresh Fish. Yeah, I remember a few episodes ago.
Weekend in the country.
Yeah, he gives you the address of the warehouse. And he mentions, we wanted to have a restaurant, Leary's Fresh Fish. So I think since this is Gale's dream and her project now, she just wasn't going to use that name because she's not a Leary anymore, technically. You know, their marriage is over.
Yeah. Okay.
But.
And like the dream of the family restaurant is dead, but.
Yeah. So I'm assuming that was edited out of the episode somewhere.
Got it.
You know, yeah, Mitch saves the day. He's going to be the general manager of the restaurant. Question. Does he still work at the school?
I know. I don't know. That was my question, too. All of these people are spreading themselves too thin. Bodhi has two jobs. Mitch has two jobs. Gale is just really ruining lives.
That's what she does.
She's a life ruiner. She's a homewrecker.
No, we love Gale. Just ask the superintendent. She ruined his life on live TV.
Okay. Can we dive into Pacey and Buzz?
Let's do it, Pissy.
So Pacey goes, and the coordinator of the program or whoever she is that he's meeting with lets him know that they have the perfect kid for him. And she thinks that they're going to be a good match. And he walks in and that little Jonathan Lipnicki with his cute little face just tears right into him from the start. He says, how old are you? Pacey says, I'm 16. How old are you? He says, I'm 9. You have a 5 o'clock shadow. He's like, I'm mature.
And Buzz is like, is that what you call it?
Yeah. And then he says, you're going to be back here dropping me back off.
In 48 hours.
Yeah, in 48 hours. Pissy.
It's Pacey.
He says, whatever, Pissy. I really got a laugh out of that.
So funny. They are not hitting it off.
No, they're not. And he's quick. He's got good comebacks. You can tell he's going to be a worthy adversary for Pacey.
On the way into the room, the lady says, you know, me and the school talked and we gave you someone that we really think is a good fit for you. And then it doesn't take Pacey long. He says to Buzz, oh, you're a smartass. Oh, people think I'm a smartass too. That must be why they paired us together.
And he's right.
And they go to the arcade where Buzz wants a Pikachu card. And when he says Pikachu, Pacey says, that sounds like something you need penicillin for or something like that, which is an STD joke, which is weird.
Yeah, sounds like something that you're got to treat with antibiotics.
Oh, that's what it was. What he says. Buzz is just terrorizing this arcade, and I kind of live for this chaos.
He's just hitting much larger children on the head with a whack-a-mole mallet.
So good.
So then Pacey is like, I know what I should do with this kid. I'm going to have him work on my boat, which honestly is not a bad idea.
You do a little Karate Kid, like up-down stroke. He teaches him how to paint.
And Buzz is like, did anyone ever tell you not to go against the grain? And Pacey's like, who taught you to paint? And he's like, my dad. And he's like, well, where's your dad now? And he's like, sea.
Yeah, he's like, somewhere in the Atlantic. And Pacey's like, oh, he's a sailor. And he's like, no, we spread his ashes off Nantucket. Poor guy.
Oops.
His dad is dead. Or is he?
Pacey tries to teach a lesson to Buzz and says, don't hit people. And he's like, yeah, well, how'd you end up in this program? And he's like, I hit a guy. They're just so cute together.
They're so cute. And they have their little hats on. And Buzz has that little hat that like comes down over your ears, you know?
Oh my God. And you tie it under your chin.
Yeah. And then Pacey picks them up and throws them over his shoulder.
He does pick them up and throw them over his shoulder. And I think that whole sequence, because Buzz keeps talking while he's over Pacey's shoulder. And I think it's all ADR because I think if you look at his face, at Jonathan Lipnicki's face, he's just cracking up while he's like over Pacey's shoulder. Yeah. It's very adorable.
Breaking character. Oh, Josh.
They're just fun. They're just goofing.
And then in the next scene, Buzz has a new hat on. It's a bucket hat.
He's got many hats. And anytime I picture him, this is how he looks. This character, I picture him in orange. I think maybe because sometimes he's wearing like a life jacket.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I just always picture him in like yellow and orange for some reason.
I love when Joshua Jackson, there's a scene where he like lifts him off the boat too. I just love when Joshua Jackson, he's just so cute with these kids.
So freaking cute.
So cute.
So cute. And Buzz is like, who's the girl? And he's like, what girl? And he's like, the girl you named your boat after. And he's like, there is no girl. And he's like, have you kissed her? And he's like, what?
And Jonathan Lipnicki like really is, when Joshua Jackson's talking, like, he's really listening. Like in character, he's like listening. He's not just waiting for his next line.
Yeah, he was a phenomenal child actor.
Acting is reacting. And Jonathan Lipnicki. He knows what he's doing. He is just ripping Pacey to shreds. He calls him a loser. He calls him a coward. He is eating Pacey up.
He says, have you kissed her? And Pacey says, I told you, there's no girl. And he's like, so why? So you haven't kissed her? Like, why haven't you kissed her? He just keeps laying into him. Calls him a bluff and coward. So he goes, Pacey goes back to the head of the program. Is like, what's the deal with this kid? You know, like, and she's fully expecting him. Like, she's like, yeah, he's a little bit of a troublemaker or whatever. And he says, oh, because of his dad. And she's like, yeah, wouldn't you be if your dad ran away with a girl half his age? And he's like, oh, to Nantucket.
Because that's where he told Pacey that they spread his ashes.
And she's like, yep.
So sad. And his mom works all the time. So he's like, no home life, which is why he's in the program.
Yeah. And she's like, it's not supposed to be a low-cost babysitting service, so we'll have you reassigned. And he's like, oh, no, no, I don't want to be reassigned. And earlier in the episode, Buzz says, my mom's making meatloaf and mashed potatoes tonight. And then Pacey finds out that his mom actually works all the time and isn't home. So he brings over supplies for meatloaf and mashed potatoes and they cook it together.
It's so cute.
That Pacey's a good guy.
And that's when it becomes clear to Buzz that Pacey's not giving up on him. And then Buzz tells him the truth about his dad while they're cooking. And then that's when Pacey tells him about Joey and she's beautiful and all these things. And then what does Buzz say? He's like, is she hot? And Pacey's like, I'm not.
Is she a hottie? And he's like, I'm not answering that. He says, come on, I'm 9. It's going to be forever until I get there.
It is so cute.
He says, she's so beautiful that every time you look at her, your knees tremble and your heart melts. And you know right then and there, without any reservations, that there's order and meaning in the universe. And Buzz says, she's a hottie.
With his little front tooth missing. Oh, yeah. Buzz. And he's like, she's probably out there having the time of her life.
And that's where we leave Buzz in this episode.
They're in it. Pacey's not giving up on him, even though he's a little smartass.
He's going to give it another go. Give it another day.
Now, wait. Question. When Pacey shows up at Buzz's house and Buzz answers the door, are we to assume that Buzz is there alone, this 8-year-old?
I think.
Good Lord.
I'm pretty sure.
Call CPS.
If you were home alone as an 8-year-old, like, it just looked like the house was, like, had the appropriate amount of lights on and stuff. I feel like I would either be in complete darkness or have every single light on. I don't know. Like,
yeah.
I feel like kids do wacky stuff.
It was very home alone-y. It was very Kevin McAllister.
Indeed. All right. So we started the episode with Pacey bringing Joey to the train station to send her off to her trip with AJ. So we meet back up with Joey in her first scene of, or her second scene of the episode, in the train station being picked up by AJ. And we see a sign in the air that says Potter, Joseph. And she's like, there he is.
Which is her inside joke with AJ, because they both have like gender ambiguous names. And so when she got assigned to his room during that college visit, they got in the habit of calling each other Potter, Joseph. And what's AJ's last name?
I don't remember.
Anyway, Morgan is there with the sign.
Yeah, so it's not AJ. It's actually Morgan. Joey walks up to her and says, I'm Joey Potter. It's just so awkward. It's
so awkward and weird.
She says, where's AJ? And Morgan says, the jumpy boy is still deciding what reading to read tonight. And when she called him the jumpy boy, I wanted to die. My whole soul wanted to leave my body. I hated that.
What they're going for is they want AJ and Morgan to be like Dawson and Joey, you know?
Yes.
And Morgan is like Dawson. She says the weirdest, cringiest stuff. And she's just like a cheese ball.
So weird. Maybe they're perfect for each other.
And what's with the rollerblades? Joey's like rollerblading all over Boston?
All of it is weird to me. So Morgan takes Joey, what is it, on a tour of the Charles or something?
Taking her on a tour of the Charles River on her rollerblades. What a thrill. We find out that AJ and Morgan have known each other since they were zygotes. And guess what? If it wasn't bad enough, Morgan studied in France. As you may recall from episode 113, Joey also got the opportunity to study in France, but she didn't go.
She didn't go because she took a bet on love.
Guess what, bitch? Morgan took the chance and she went to France and she knows French. She's not afraid to speak it in front of Joey.
You know who else knows French? AJ.
And then Joey and AJ kiss and Morgan's like, meh.
Get a room.
It's LOL. It's LOL.com. And then, like, Joey must fall and hurt her knee or something. Because then AJ, speaking of romantic gestures that make you uncomfortable, AJ, like, kisses her boo-boo.
Oh, my God. He's putting a Band-Aid on for about 25 minutes. And then he goes, I know something that might be better than this. Kisses her knee. She says, well, now I'm feeling a little lightheaded. I hate them together.
I know.
But Joey's very convincing in these scenes, Katie Holmes. She's, like, cute and, like, flirty and, like, really feels like she likes him.
She's really good at, in this episode, playing that, like, younger girl into the older guy. Like, delusional love.
Mm-hmm.
It was really believable, but it was also a different shade for Joey. Like, she wasn't being her little, like, bitter, cynical self.
Yes.
And I like that. I'll tell you what else I liked. AJ has a Liz Phair poster.
Okay, AJ.
Why can't I breathe? Story time. College graduation weekend. We were all like, you know, because like you're trying to get through final semester. You make it through finals and then like the graduation weekend just kind of hits you. And then you're like, oh, God, it's here.
Yeah.
And we all went up to like our bar, like it was called Chuck's. And we were all like, God, this is like it. This is like the last Friday we're going to all be together. And then I went to the bathroom and like the Liz Phair song was playing. And I think I like didn't cry, but I was like, oh, God. So now every time I see Liz Phair or hear Liz Phair, I think about Chuck's graduation weekend. Bing, bang, boom. That's it. That's all I wanted to say.
Love Chuck's.
Also, AJ's room has a furnace in it, which is just like so real. But then also, they can't still have those, right? That's such a fire.
Like a radiator, you mean?
Yeah, sorry, radiator. A radiator.
So East Coast.
Like, those are such a fire hazard, right? They can't still have those in college dorm rooms.
I mean, I don't know. It depends on how old the college is. I bet the old ones are still outfitted with them. My parents' house still has them.
Yeah.
Good question. Well, in this scene, Morgan comes running in.
Of course, here comes Morgan.
And says, Arthur, I have an idea. Oh, I see you've got that room. Because Joey and AJ are making out. And Joey's like, who's Arthur? And he's like, no, come back. What's your idea? She's like, don't wear this, wear that.
Don't wear the double-breasted sports coat.
Wear the khakis and sweater. That's you. And do this reading. The old one. Don't want to know where your writing came from. He's like, my God, you're right. You can tell. She knows him. She knows what's good for him. And then she says, Joey, I've got something for you. Come with me, and brings her into her room.
And her comforter is amazing. I don't know what to tell you. It's like pink and like seafoam green flannel.
Oh, yeah.
And then she has like a shrine to AJ on her wall.
Yeah, she does. Not only has she been to France and is she the muse of Joey's boyfriend, but she is a really good artist, which is something that Joey also wanted to be there for a minute.
She also has Chinese characters on her shirt.
Oh my gosh, I didn't notice that.
She's basically single white female.
Can you imagine if in that collage of pictures, there was just one small picture of Joey? Joey's like, wait, where did you get this?
Morgan's like, can I have a strand of your hair for my hair doll?
These dorm rooms are huge, I feel like. My first dorm room, when I walked into it, there were three people living in it, and I swear it was like 10 by 12, 10 by 14 at best.
Yeah, mine was so small. I don't know how I made it through that, to be honest.
It's really insane when you think about it.
It's crazy. It's like prison.
It is. And like, I know, obviously, your friends are a big part of, like, what gets you through that and just, like, being young and maybe not knowing any better. But that's insanity to just be like, here are two strangers. Good luck in this teeny tiny room.
I know.
That's cuckoo.
That's crazy. My freshman year roommate was, like, the son of, like, a pastor.
Whew.
Which was wild.
I had two very different girls. One of them moved out mid-year, which was a good thing. She was not happy in our general situation.
Did she get replaced by anyone?
No. We had to keep the furniture, I guess, just in case they wanted to put somebody else in there. They never did. So we two of us lived there with the three.
That's still good, though.
Furnitures, yeah.
It's crazy that you had two.
Yeah, it was a year. I guess they just accepted more people and they were like, a good amount of people will be put into a triple.
But the triple rooms are bigger than the regular rooms.
No.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
We had one set of bunk beds and then we had one bed lofted over a desk.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah. That's cool. I like when they do that.
Yeah. And then we had two other desks. It was just freaking insane. Cuckoo. But then when my third roommate moved out, we made the bottom bunk more of like a couch lounge area and our friends would come into our room. I guess maybe our room was a little bit bigger. It must have been a little bit bigger. But we would watch Dawson's Creek. Shout out to Steph, if you're listening.
Life was perfect then. That's what you were doing.
Life was perfect.
I know we covered the C story, but in the scene where Mitch comes in, first of all, Mitch looks really good when he comes in, but Kerr and Meredith's face acting in the background is hysterical. I get the awkwardness between Gail and Mitch. Like Meredith's eyes just keep going like from left.
Darting back and forth. Yeah.
And then Kerr is just like, oh my God, it's so funny.
Mitch does look really good in this episode.
We love a good face acting moment.
Do we ever? And they're all good at it. I feel like Meredith too is really good at like the like shrug mouth, like she does a lot of corner acting.
I'll be honest, this scene at the Creative Writing Awards dinner, it makes me want to jump off a cliff. They're talking about FDR, they're reading. Do we even have to talk about it?
It's tough. Also, Morgan wasn't originally going to go to this. Joey invited her. She said, what are you doing? And she said, I'm doing my favorite thing. I'm getting an advanced copy of the New York Times, Sunday New York Times or something, which like, I don't even know what she's talking about. That goes over my head. How do you get an advanced copy? I'm so confused.
The girl's a freak.
It's like, Dawson, you're beautiful in the way that people used to be beautiful.
There's people dying in the Baltics. The Balkans?
Dawson, people are dying in the Balkans.
Oh my God. Also, Joey, you can't just invite people to an awards dinner at the last minute. Like, there's seating charts, there's tickets.
I'm certain he only got a plus one, not a plus two.
You're not in Cape Set anymore, okay?
Though he is the guest of honor or whatever. He is being honored, but no. She's like, look, this is AJ's big night. He would want you there. You're his oldest friend. Oh, also another thing in that scene that's ridiculous and made me want to jump off a cliff is when she says, yeah, and they're like bonding over AJ and his little like mannerisms and all the stuff that he does. And Joey says, he's a good kisser, or he's good at kissing.
Yeah, why would she say that? Was that her chance to like get a dig in?
She was trying to gauge if they had ever kissed.
Oh.
And Morgan's like, only once, but it wasn't right. Like, whatever. But what an awkward way to bring it up. Everything about it is so awkward. She's like, only once. And Joey's like, okay, great. We'll come to the party then. And then they go to the party. It's so awkward. AJ starts reading his writing. It's like the loudest sound, unspoken love. But boy, she's so wonderful. She gets advanced copies of New York Times.
Her face is like a painting into my soul or something. And I was just like, oh my God. This won an award? I mean, I know it didn't. He is, but
no, I know. And but speaking of face acting, Morgan's face acting, she does such a good job of being in love in this scene, I feel like.
Is it in love or is it like, it was almost like she was like flattered or something, or like she knows this is about her, I think. Because it was her idea for him to do this one.
True. Yes.
He's a mastermind like Taylor Swift. What if I told you I'm a mastermind? Well, Morgan wins. Okay.
Well, Morgan, the thing is, I mean, she does win.
But she doesn't
really
win.
Really, Joey, right? Is like, look, just go. I can't deal with you guys. Morgan says, have you guys thought about going down to the Arboretum? Something about her in the scene after the dinner. She's turned into this like 1950s starlet. Oh, hey, did you guys think about going down to the Arboretum tonight? No? Okay, more for me. And Joey's like, here's your jacket. She's like, thanks, Joey. But Joey, good for her, says, I think I want to go back to your room. And little bug-eyed AJ, I was going to say, little AJ.
You know what?
He's like, okay.
I bet Morgan's the lady killer.
Oh my God.
They got the wrong guy again. Who did we say was the lady killer last time?
Andy.
Oh, yeah. Andy. Because she had the fuzzy dice in her locker.
Yeah.
And she kept the, okay, yeah. And you said it's probably the fuzzy dice from the car her brother died. Oh my God. Morgan looks a little bit like Jenny McCarthy.
You know what? She does. She has that like late 90s, early 2000s. Is it the frosty eyeshadow? Something is very of a time about her, but her face structure does look like Jenny McCarthy.
Joey's dumping AJ.
She's like, look, I know that you're meant to be with Morgan. And AJ's like, you're wrong. Did Morgan say that? And she's like, no.
I know.
But I know it. And he's like, how do you know? And she's like, she's your muse.
She basically says, I was Morgan. And she's like, you know nothing about me. You know everything about her. And he's like, I'm getting to know you. And this is, they're just a disaster. He's holding a bottle of Dom Perignon, which like he got at the award. But like, he's like 18 or 19. How did he? Anyway, they're breaking up.
They're breaking up. But like, bold choice on her part. She's like, go be with Morgan. I want to be in your room alone.
She's like, can't you hear it? And he's like, hear what? The loudest sound of all, love unspoken.
She buys you paper. She knows you. Okay, Joey. She says, go to her. And he's like, okay. But he's still not really sold on this idea. Like, I want to see that. I want to go to it. I want to see how that conversation plays out. Joey told me to come here.
You want to see a scene between AJ and Morgan alone?
No, I don't. I just want it to be downloaded into my brain.
Save it for the WB.com bonus footage because I do not want it. You know what Joey's reminding me of in this scene? Because she has her hair up and she has her lipstick on my own.
Oh my God, so much.
Reminds me of Pretty
This is
Woman.
Her one look. This is her fancy look.
Yeah.
Hair to the side, French twist.
But she's also doing that like lip thing and she's like, it's just lipstick. It's just love unspoken.
It's just the loudest sound of all.
Tomorrow I'll still be the too tall girl from the wrong side of the creek.
Speaking of, she is a little bit too tall for AJ in her heels. I did notice that.
Don't tall shame. I will say AJ has nice eyes.
Do you think so?
But that's it. I said eyes.
What do you think? I heard you. The whole time I was so distracted by his eyes. Something about them really creeps me out.
Well, they're soulless and dead, which is maybe why I like them. But they're light. I love a light eye.
They're like buggy or like shifty. I don't like them. They're unnatural to me. I hate them. I'm looking at them right now. They're a little bit unnerving. I don't like them.
All right. So Joey dumps him and she's going home to the train station. And then she calls Pacey.
The thing that I got hung up on, which I know is a very small thing that I should not get hung up on. We see Pacey in the scene with Buzz and then she calls him from the train station. And in my head, I was like, oh man, Pacey missed her call because he's with Buzz. Like in my head, that's what the thing was going to be. But no, there was a time jump at some point. Pacey was where he needed to be to get her call and he comes to pick her up.
Yeah, it's kind of cute because she knows she can rely on him and she didn't call anyone else. So talk about this scene. This is your scene. You've been waiting for this.
So he comes to pick her up at the train station. He finds her there. She's clearly distraught. She's been crying. He's like, what's wrong? She's like, I don't want to talk about it. Like, let's just go home. And he's like, Joe, like, what happened? She's like, what do you want, Pacey? Do you want me to tell you were right? Like, you were right. He's like, what happened? And she's like, there was another girl. It's never going to happen for me. And he's like, why? Because you're 16 and alone? That's ridiculous. And she's like, no, because only two people have ever really known me, Dawson and like you said in your recap, he says, AJ didn't really know you. And she's like, no, I was going to say you. And in that moment, he's like, screw this, pulls the car over in dramatic fashion, gets out and does some of his body acting where he's like, I got too much energy in my arms and my legs. Joey gets out and she's like, what are you doing? And he's like, what did you mean by that? And she's like, what? She's got her classic Joey attitude this whole scene. She's pissed. He's pissed. What did you mean by that, Joe? Because, you know, and she's like, what? I can rely on you. I called you because I can rely on you, and I knew that you would be there, and blah, blah, blah. And she says, you know me, PC, in a way that nobody else ever has besides Dawson. And he goes, we're not talking about Dawson right now. We're talking about me, and you can't keep doing this to me. And she's like, why? And he's like, you call me to pick you up in the middle of the night. Why did you do that? And she says, I thought that I could. I'm sorry. Should I not have called you? And he's like, no, this isn't about you wanting to call me. I'm happy that you wanted to call me. I think I can talk to you, she says. And he says, don't you ever get tired of talking? I'm tired of talking. And she's like, no, no, no. And they have this like cacophonous moment of just like yelling at each other. And he grabs her and he kisses her face.
Bam, over.
The episode is over.
What's going to happen next week? Will she kiss him back? Will she confess her feelings? Will she break his heart? Who knows?
Who knows?
Did we? Is the next episode air on March 8th or was it March 15th?
Oh my God, such a good question.
No, it was like 5 weeks. I remember that. That was a big cliffhanger.
April 5th. We had to wait over a month.
I remember that.
Maybe that's why this is so burned into my brain. We had to sit with that. That's incredible.
And we probably watched it on our VHSs. I mean, our VCRs. Oh my
gosh. Absolutely, we did.
Wow. I do remember that being a big spring cliffhanger kind of thing.
Insane.
Insane in the membrane.
So we wait a whole month to find out what happens. And then we have a nice, tight 6 episodes. And then the season is over.
6 more? That's crazy. I feel like there's like 3.
Crazy. Well, what a good episode. Such a good episode. There's drama. There's comedy. There's everyone. Everyone's in it. Everyone has a place.
There was Morgan.
And then there was Morgan.
Morgan is a psycho. AJ and his eyes.
His weird eyes.
Liz Phair poster.
I loved it. And it really held up for me. I texted you immediately after I watched it and said, oh my God, this is such a good episode.
It's so good. And it's like such a clear line. Like this changes the show. Henceforth, it's just part one and part two, basically, right? It cuts the show right down the middle. Casey and Joey are a trajectory that changes the series.
Yeah. It's obviously not the first time that he's kissed her. He kissed her in season 1, but this feels so much heavier and they're so much closer. And like, even though they've always kind of had a vibe, this felt hugely game changery. Where like season 1, it was like, ooh, like it was like a little exciting, like, ooh, maybe this is a thing, but whew, this is heavy stuff.
Yeah. When he kissed, are you referring to when he kissed her for the horror movie?
No, I'm referring to when he kissed her.
To the date at the circus, the carnival.
Yep.
And she's like, what are you doing? You know what makes this kiss even juicier? That Katie and Josh dated in real life, but at this point they are broken up.
Exes.
I have a surprise. Should we do a creek speak?
Oh my God. Yeah. Let's do a creek speak.
And it's actually a voice memo. Our favorite. And this is from Marta.
Hi, Christina and Micah. This is Marta from out in Philly, and I freaking love your podcast. I kind of randomly started watching Dawson's Creek. Well, I have been on a 90s teen drama kick, so it wasn't that random, but I'd never watched it before, and then I found your podcast and realized that I'm at the same point in the show that you guys are in putting out episodes. So that's really fun. And I just love watching the show and thinking like, oh, they're going to say something about this weird scene or whatever. But yeah, it's been so much fun listening. You are both such genuine and chill hosts, and I love all your segments. So I just want to thank you both for putting out such a good podcast.
That was so nice.
Love that. Marta from Philly.
That's awesome. And I feel like nothing makes me happier than when I am doing something. Like, it sounds like she was just watching Dawson's and then found the podcast and we happened to be kind of aligned. I love when something like that happens in my life where I'm like deep diving into something and then I discover something new and I'm like, oh my God, yes, perfect.
Yeah. And we love a Philly reference, a Philly shout out, a Philly moment.
Hell yeah. We're just Jersey and Pennsylvania folk at the end of the day.
Yeah, you're right there. I'm from 2 hours north.
Love it.
I'll be there next weekend.
Yeah.
Let's roll. Well, that's all I got.
What you watching?
I'm still doing my Halloween horror movie binge. And I just did the Maxine trilogy. So it's X, Pearl, and Maxine. And they're a trilogy of horror movies, but also not horror It's like dark drama, thrillery at times.
Nice. I know nothing about that.
When it comes to horror movies, I just appreciate a really basic premise. And the premise of the first one is it's Brittany Snow, Jenna Ortega, a few other people you'd know. It's the 70s. They go out to the middle of nowhere to like film a porn. They're renting like a back house to film the movie from this old couple, and then like chaos ensues. And then the other two are offshoots of the first one. But it was just such a basic premise, and it was so good. Very 70s style shot. Look aesthetic.
I just Googled it and I've been seeing this imagery everywhere, but I didn't know what it was from.
It's A24. That gives you the vibe.
Nice.
What are you watching?
I'm not really watching anything new. I'm still watching Love is Blind, which I'm cracking up that last week. I was like, oh my God, they're so in love. This season is a dumpster fire. It is so bad. I saw a TikTok in passing and then I was like, I should Google this. And after the season ended, a lot of stuff came out about this one guy having kids, and he never told her he had kids, but it was like very just messy. But there's this girl, Hannah. Have you seen anything about her?
No.
I feel like when I spoke about Love is Blind last year, you remembered Chelsea and you were like, oh, I've been seeing that girl everywhere. Hannah's like that of this season.
Okay.
She is just a garbage person. It's crazy.
And you feel like she's being genuinely herself, or she's like trying to be weird for cameras?
I do think she's being genuinely herself. All her people in the pods who liked her were like, she just seems like such a genuine down-to-earth girl. And now you're like realizing she's like an immature little narcissist. I don't know.
Wow.
She sucks. All right, that's it.
What are we going to drink next week for episode 318?
Next week, we will be drinking the Girls' Night Out. You will need lemonade, grenadine, peach schnapps, cranberry schnapps, and lime schnapps. Sounds sweet. You know, I love a cocktail built around lemonade.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Yeah. So get those ingredients and you don't have to wait an entire month to find out what happens, because we'll be back next week.
Yeah, we're not taking a break. Even though the world made us take a break,
we won't make you. All right. Well, we'll talk to you guys next time.
Bye.